Good morning. Allow me to introduce myself. I am the Queen of Sheba. Normally, there would be trumpets blowing and servants announcing my arrival. My loyal subjects would be bowed before me when I entered. But for now, we'll just dispense with the formalities and let's just talk as queen and commoner. I'm just kidding. Let's be girlfriends. So, I was sitting on my throne one day when word came to me about this King Solomon in the land of Israel. His wealth and wisdom was heralded as greater than anyone's on earth. I couldn't stop thinking about him. I'm quite well educated, you know. What does he know that I don't? Would he be able to answer my most difficult questions? What was his palace like? How much gold did he possess? More than I? I just had to meet him. I started to plan my journey. It would be arduous and difficult to travel across the desert. So many miles, so much luggage. Of course, I had to present him with gifts and unique treasures from my country. How many attendants would accompany me? How many camels would I need? Were there ample camel stops in the oasis in the desert? Do they have Wi-Fi there? Was my passport current? So many things to think about before I travel. Good thing I have servants to take care of all those details. And I wish they would have fixed my cape a little better so it would stay on. Well, the day finally came to embark upon my adventure. It would take forever to make the 1,300-mile journey. After all, my caravan was long and winding, and my camel, Kamala, or was it my Kamal Kamala? I can't remember. Anyway, she was loaded down with gold and lots of precious jewels. She was a sight to behold. My other humped vehicles were packed with spices and lots of gold and more precious stones that I would present to King Solomon as gifts. My time traveling was not only spent thinking of questions pertaining to flora and fauna, but more importantly, commercial expansion between our two countries. Oh yes, I was hoping to establish trade with our country's natural resources. This would be an excellent opportunity to get to see for myself what his country had to offer. After all, I watched C-SPAN, so I figured I was quite capable of navigating the necessary negotiations. I didn't need an ambassador. I could pull this off myself. As Jerusalem came into view, I saw the temple and my excitement exploded. I fought the feelings of intimidation and realized I faced quite a challenge. I was not to be trifled with as some brainless beauty. I was going to see who was wiser, the Queen of Sheba or the King of Israel. As I dismounted from Kamala, whoever she is, and entered his palace, the anticipation turned into awe. So much gold reminded me of Trump Tower. I told my brain to stay focused. I was announced and presented to King Solomon. I bowed gracefully, rose, and faced him. The battle of wits had begun. My interrogation began with easy questions like, how did you get those giant foundation stones up the hill? And then, exactly how many wives do you have? Then I escalated the difficulty. From where did your wisdom come? Sam will fill you in on more details. Let's just say I returned home with more than gold and the treasures that King Solomon gave me. But more than that, I came back with the one true God of Israel. And that was the greatest gift of all. Sam, I yield the mic to you.
I almost wore the same thing. That would have been awkward. Good morning, everyone. Before we get started, I have a couple announcements. For the women, the t-shirts, is there any represented? Emily's got some, up in the back. For those shoulder-to-shoulder women's ministry t-shirts, there is, they're running out, they ran out of smalls. So if you still need one, talk to Christina. Also, the women's retreat is coming up. The theme is Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's by Jean McClure. And that is April 26th through 28th. So go ahead and save the date for that. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good one and fun. Okay. It's in the mountains. Somewhere in the mountains. Where is it at? Forest Homes. Forest? Forest. We're going to find out. Forest Homes. There we go. Okay, so here we are plugging along at yet another woman to glean from. But before we get started, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for being faithful. We thank you so much for just being the hound of heaven for chasing after us, like Dan sang this morning. We pray now that as we open your word, that we would be able to hear you speak as I've prepared and whatever you have me to say. Lord, I just pray that it reaches our hearts and that just tune our ears to what you have. We thank you and we love you. In your name I pray. Amen. I got to get water. Sorry. Okay. Many years ago, when my nephew Isaac was 3 years old, I was watching him and decided that we should make cookies. We got things ready and talked about the importance of hand washing before starting. I can picture him now standing at the sink with the sleeves rolled up real high, scrubbing away on the stepladder, of course. And I smiled and I said, "So Isaac, what's the first rule of baking?" He, without hesitation, shouts, "Don't touch your butt." That was when I knew that wisdom didn't have an age. My daughter's in here, by the way. I don't know about you, but I feel like the word wisdom can be overused and used incorrectly. We live in a time where people are so hungry and thirsty for knowledge. We want to know it all and be the ones to tell others just how much we know. Everyone has the answers for colds or sicknesses. Every recipe is titled the world's best. And people spend hours upon hours seeking lifestyles of others. You know, what do they do that I need to do? We are so lost that we're seeking all of our answers in the wrong places and finding only what is wrong. Not only that, but you receive world praise for doing what is wise by choosing yourself over family, friends, or even God. The world says that wisdom is all relative. It's based on how you feel. You're wise to choose your own way, your own gender, your own identity. What you feel is the only truth, and that's wisdom. Perhaps we're seeking answers to which we don't even know the question. We have created in our lives hunger for the wrong thinking and wrong problem solving. We think we are seeking answers, seeking wisdom, but that's not true wisdom. That's simply information. A quote I saw recently said that we are drowning in information but starving for wisdom. The second our eyes open, we reach for the phone to check the weather or to see if any messages are waiting for us on social media. World information has become our lifeline. Don't get me wrong. Reading an article on having better health or how to declutter your home isn't a bad thing, but it becomes bad when we look to the information as our only source. Admittedly, I've done the same thing. We can fixate on all the wrong things instead of seeking the only true place for us to receive wisdom. I have found that the Bible is the only source that I can trust, and there's a wealth of knowledge on each page and story. Spurgeon says that the word of God is the anvil upon which the opinions of men are smashed. If you spend any amount of time on social media, you know that to be true. It's full of opinions, people staking claim on what they feel is best. It's just rambling noise. The world could certainly use a little more truth and a lot more smashed opinions. Wisdom, true wisdom, is only found in God. Webster's dictionary defines wisdom as the right use or exercise of knowledge. It is godliness, piety, the knowledge of fear of God. It's not just a word, but it requires action. Taking what knowledge we receive and putting it into the practice of our lives. We have no success without the knowledge of God. By his divine wisdom, we can receive discernment, peace, strength to endure, direction, and every good thing. James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." He who hung the stars is our source for all wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Literally everything that we know or have is from the Lord. When we can submit our lives to the knowledge of the Lord and truly seek him, we gain that true wisdom. Like living blind, God's wisdom gives us eyes to see. I can't think of a time where I've heard anything from the world that it had the same effect. The world cannot be our source of wisdom. Before we start reading, I want to remind us all of King Solomon's story. Being the young son of King David, God appointed Solomon to be king over Israel. King David had a heart after God's. He reigned successfully with God. Every decision and plan was brought out by God's direction. Solomon, in his own eyes, was ill-equipped. He knew that him being king meant that he was responsible for God's people to build God's temple. He was walking into his position with mounting tasks already to take care of. But I love this story so much. In 1 Kings 3:5, it reads, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask, what shall I give you?' Solomon goes on to answer how great a king his father was, how God gave King David great mercy for following his way in leadership. Solomon says to God in verse 7, 'Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your wisdom, give your servant understanding, an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?'" Solomon asks for wisdom. He says, "I can't, but you can." Solomon knew that he couldn't reign or lead anyone if he didn't have discernment and wisdom from God. How often do we ask God for wisdom in our lives? Most of us, I'm sure, can recollect times where we've asked for wisdom when life was hard. Difficult circumstances often lead us to the feet of Jesus. Can I just say, there isn't one day, one moment of our lives that we don't need God. We need his guidance and wisdom every moment of every day. We need to be a people who are seeking and asking God for his wisdom. I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. It says, "When I ask, what is more important, praying or reading the Bible? I ask, what is more important, breathing in or breathing out?" We need God and his word to be our life source. How do we gain wisdom? By spending time with the Lord, seeking him. So God honors Solomon and gives him abundantly more. God not only answers Solomon's request, but gave him riches and honor, and no one else was like him who reigned. Isn't it great that we serve a God of abundantly more? Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, according to the power that works in us, he gives us more than we ask. He meets our needs and extra because he is a loving father." Fast forward a couple of chapters, through years of wise reigning, we meet the Queen of Sheba. Let's go ahead and read 1 Kings 10:1-2. "Now when the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, very much gold, and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart." This queen that we know of has no name. She is the queen from, we can guess, somewhere around the Persian Gulf. The land there is rich with gold, spices, and precious woods. For all intents and purposes, she didn't really need anything trade-wise. We know that she's heard of what was going on in Jerusalem, and no doubt King Solomon's name was spread over many lands. As God promised, King Solomon has riches and honor. What God was doing was huge. Queen of Sheba hears of King Solomon's wisdom and decides to take a small but seriously long trek to Jerusalem herself. It's estimated that the journey was some 1,500 miles. Whew, very different. Sounds like what she wanted to know was pretty important to her, though. I want to point out that the queen came off of her throne and journeyed away from her land and her people. Her journey to seek King Solomon was one of humility. Not only did she come with an amazing bounty, but she came seeking real truth, real wisdom. Perhaps her questions were, who is this man that his God so highly favors? What has made him so remarkably wise? The Bible isn't clear on what her questions were, but we know that they were hard and intended to test the king. She came to hear and see the wisdom of not just Solomon, but of the God who gave him such wisdom. One commentary said that she has a thirst for wider intellectual pursuits. She was a seeker of true knowledge. Her heart and mind postured to learning. I love that it says that she spoke to him about all that was in her heart. That tells us that this isn't just a testing of head knowledge, but her heart thirsted for true wisdom. Her soul was seeking truth. Many years ago, I walked away from the Lord. Life got hard and I felt like I knew best. Slowly, God softened me. At that time, I lived with my sister and her husband, Chris. Chris just happened to start working from home during these months. And I remember coming to him and sitting in his home office. I would just unload the deepest questions. Some of them were gruff, as I was mad at life, but most were about salvation, about where I stood with God if I continued my path. My heart was starving for truth that I refused to seek on my own. He would lovingly listen and open up the word with me. He showed me exactly what God's word said and how to trace his hand in my life. I'm so thankful that Chris was home at that time. Those days were huge in reestablishing my faith. God does that, though, doesn't he? He provides people and situations to help heal broken hearts, people to help point us back to the true word of God. Sometimes as parents, we're afraid when our kids ask us questions, but our kids and us are no different than the queen. We all have questions in our hearts. None of us were born knowing everything. Weird. The queen went to the best source that she knew of to get wisdom. We as parents shouldn't be afraid when our kids ask questions, but instead, we should go with them to the source of wisdom, God and his word. What's on your heart today? Do you feel the same ache of wanting answers and seeking what it is that God has to offer? When you're quick to seek answers from social media, podcasts, or to gain attagirls from the applause of men, stop and think what you're really seeking. So what sorts of things should we be seeking? What does the Bible say about what we should allow to pour in our hearts and our minds? Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, if then you were raised in Christ, seek those things which are above. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are to those who find them, and health to all of their flesh. A couple more. James 1 through 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Notice there's no mention of asking your friends what to do. There's no direction or seeking what the world says to be right. We need to avoid the advice of the world. You must practice God's word to grow in maturity. We must go to God for all of our answers. Keep our eyes from distractions. Keep our hearts pure. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Let's go on to 1 Kings 10:3. So Solomon answered all of her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the queen that he could not explain it to her. Like a beacon in the night, she was drawn to the wisdom of King Solomon. They spent time together, and he answered all of her questions. 2 Timothy 4:2 tells us to preach the word, be ready in and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, and with all long-suffering and teaching. Solomon was ready for whoever walked through his door. He didn't tell her to come back at a better time. He didn't make space for him to power study before they spoke. He was ready because that was the life that he lived. His life was for God. As we read in the second part of that verse, there was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. As believers, we will never teach anyone a truth that we are not living. Every bit of King Solomon's success and wealth was God's doing in his life. He didn't shy away from telling people that. His life was a testimony of God's faithfulness. All glory and honor went to God. Same for our lives. Anything good that comes from our mouths or our actions is God's doing. We are all sinners. We're selfish and lack so much when we don't have God. When we don't take our eyes off of ourselves, we lack. A.W. Tozer says, "The reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they have yet to come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work in us." Allow God to work in your life. Seek Him, not just when it's difficult, but every moment of every day. He is faithful to grow us and equip us. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Don't be afraid to seek and ask. Jeremiah 29:13 reads, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart." This encounter is no coincidence. God's sovereignty directs our steps. Long before Solomon asked for wisdom, long before the Queen of Sheba made the journey, God knew that the conversation that the two of them would have had. God knew every question that would be asked, and God lovingly equipped King Solomon with everything that he needed for that exact moment. Why? Because Solomon asked. Solomon sought God's direction in his life and asked God to equip him with all the wisdom and knowledge that he needed to be king. Our God is a good God who loves us. And as it says in Ephesians 3:20, he is able to do abundantly more than all that we ever think or ask. Let's keep reading. Verse 4 says, "And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her." The glory of the house of the Lord must have been so amazing to be in. The Queen of Sheba was no stranger to finer things, but what King Solomon had and what wisdom he spoke rendered her speechless. No doubt King Solomon spoke of God's nations and plans and the importance of the house of the Lord. She poured her heart out. God answered through Solomon, and she was left in awe. She received the deeper knowledge of just who Solomon's God was. Verse 5 through 9 reads, "Then she said to the king, 'It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed, the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants, who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you, strengthened, setting you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord has loved Israel forever, therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness.'" The Queen of Sheba speaks after being blown away by everything. She offers a sincere thanks to the king. She got to see for herself what all the talk was about, and it was more than she anticipated. There's beauty and order in a surrendered life. Every part of Solomon's palace exemplified a life led by God. Even his servants were nicely dressed and happy. But I love that she acknowledges God. It's plain to see that Solomon didn't succeed at anything in his own efforts. She said, "Bless the Lord your God who delighted in you." She acknowledges that it's God who set King Solomon on the throne of Israel. Verse 10 through 13. "Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great quality, and precious stones. There never again came such an abundance of spices as the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Also the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought great quantities of alum wood for the house of the Lord and for the king's house. Also harps and stringed instruments for singers. There never again came such alum wood, nor has there been like it seen to this day. Now King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, beside what Solomon had given her according to the royal generosity. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants." At this time, they're about to part ways. The Queen of Sheba gives the gifts that she brought with her, as was customary to bring gifts to the king. She included alum wood for the house of the Lord. The 120 talents of gold alone was equivalent to $3.5 million. It was a very sizable gift of thanks that King Solomon certainly didn't need. He gave his customary gifts and all that she desired. His gifts were no doubt as lovely and bountiful. But what she left with was so much more. She left with the spiritual and moral wisdom God had put in Solomon's heart. Admittedly, this part was hard for me. I struggled that there wasn't any part in the commentary that says that she accepted the Lord as her own personal God. But I was reminded the story isn't over yet. Her days continued, and she could have made that heart change at any day's pass. It's impossible to hear the word of God and to not be changed. I'm reminded that we are sometimes the seed planters for the seeker. Sometimes we are the water of the seeds, and sometimes the seeker accepts right then and there. None of these situations mean that God is done. He isn't finished with any of us, but we're living in times where distraction is common and wisdom is fleeting. Meef wrote on her Facebook recently, "We loosen our grip and float into a place of absolute trust. We relax into the sovereignty of God where wisdom leads the way and peace is palpable." We need to be Bereans. We need to loosen our grip and let go of our own understandings. We need to seek true wisdom from the only one who can give it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for just this time. For every woman that's here, we pray now that you would just further conversation. There's so much more that I didn't even touch on, Lord. But I know, Lord, that you've prepared it in their hearts, and I pray that you would just guide the conversations and the questions, Lord, and just bless this time. We thank you and we love you. Amen.